Welcome to Zichu Daf Siman Memor by Avram Goldar, and today we're Zichu Yuma Daf Bav, the first parak, Sukkah Shei Gvoha. So the three topics we're going to focus on, number one, Rav Chiya Bar Ashi said in the name of Rav, Shi'urim Chatzitzos Mechitzin Halacha Moshe Mesinai. The halachas of Shi'urim Chatzitzos Mechitzos are Halacha Moshe Mesinai. The Gemara challenges this, stating that Shi'urim are in fact the derisas, and brings the pasuk of the Zayin Minim as proof. As Rav Hanin said, the entire pasuk of the Zayin Minim was stated for the purpose of teaching Shi'urim. That is, each of the seven fruits is a unit of measure for some halacha. For example, Etzem Katsor Matame Memagav Masa, Veinu Matame Ba'oha. A human bone fragment the size of a barley kernel is Matame through contact or to a person who carries it, even if he does not touch it directly, and it's not Matame through being under a common roof. Geffen teaches the size of a rabis of wine for a nazir. Te'ena teaches kogogeres lahotzah Shabbos. The size of a dried fig is the minimum amount of food for which one is chayav for hotzah on Shabbos. The Gemara rejects this challenge to Rav, since these shiurim are not written explicitly in the Torah. Rather, krasmachta ba'amahu, the Rabban only linked these shiurim to the pasuk as a support for them. Point number two, the Gemara challenges Rav's assertion that laws of chetzitza are halacha Moshe Mesinai, proving that they are derisive from the pasuk from the Parsha Metzora. Rachatz is besar b'mayim, and he shall immerse his flesh in the water. Shloye davar chotz is bein olavein amayim. This teaches that there should be no extraneous matter that is a chetzitza between him and the mikvah water. The Gemara clarifies that Rav was referring to halacha which Rabbi Yitzchak taught. Dvar Torah Rubo Makmid Alev Chotzes. According to Torah law, meaning halacha Moshe Mesinai, something on one's hair is only a chetzitza if it covers the majority of the hair and one objects to it being there. Rashi gives the examples of dried blood, ink, clay, or tar, and explains that if one does not object to the object being on his hair, it's considered as part of the body. The Rabban decreed that even if only one factor exists, meaning that if it covers most of one's hair, or if he objects to it being on his hair, the tefillah is invalid. And point number three, the Mishnah stated, "V'she'en lo shalosh tefanos pasula," that a sukkah that does not have three walls is pasul. Ustan abraisa, shtaim kihochasan ushishis afilo tefach. A sukkah must have two proper walls, and a third wall even a tefach long. Rabbi Shimon says, shalosh kihochasan uravis afilo tefach. It must have three proper walls and a fourth wall, even a tefach long. The Gemara explains the Melchokas is based on which is primacy when expounding on a word from the Torah, its written form or pronounced form. The Rabban hold the Yesh Eim Lamasoris, the written form, as primacy. Therefore, they expounded the three words basukos in the Torah, twice written without a vav, and once written with a vav, as four allusions to a sukkah. Subtract one, which is required to introduce the mitzvah of a sukkah itself, and three allusions remain. Of these, two must be proper walls, va'asihilchas v'garasilushrishis, and the oral law comes and reduces the length of the third wall and establishes it as a tefach. Rabbi Shimon maintains the Yeshe Emul Mikra, the pronounced form has primacy, and therefore there are six allusions to a sukkah. Since the first mention of sukkahs is needed for the mitzvah, only four allusions remain. Three must be proper walls, and the oral law teaches the fourth can be a tefach. The Gemara presents three alternative explanations of the root of the Melchokas. So once again, the three points are number one. Rav Chiya Bar Ashi said in the name of Rav, Shi'urim, Chatzitzin, Umechitzin, Halacha Moshe Mesinai. The halachas of Shi'urim, Chatzitzos, and Mechitzos are Halacha Moshe Mesinai. The Gemara challenges this, stating that Shi'urim are in fact derisas, and brings the pasuk of the Zayin Minim as proof, as Rav Hanin said, Kol pasuk azeh Shi'urim Ne'amar. The entire pasuk was stated for the purpose of teaching Shi'urim, that is, each of the seven fruits is a unit of measure for some law. For example, Etzem kasaor matame b'mago b'masa v'en matame b'olo. A human bone fragment the size of a barley kernel is matame through contact or to a person who carries it, even if he doesn't touch it directly, and it's not matame through being under a common roof. Geffen teaches the size of a ravis of wine for a nazir. Te'ena teaches kagrogeres lahotzah's Shabbos. The size of a dried fig is the minimum amount of food for which one is chayv for hotzah on Shabbos. The Gemara rejects this challenge to Rav, since these shiurim are not written explicitly in the Torah. Rather, krasmachta ba'amahu, the Rabban only linked these shiurim to the pasuk as a support for them. Point number two, the Gemara challenges Rav's assertion that the laws of chetzitza are halacha Moshe Mesinai, proving that they are derisive from the pasuk from the Parsha Metzora. V'rachatz as basara b'mayim, and he shall immerse his flesh in the water. Shelo yehi davar chotzeitz beino leveino mayim. This teaches that there should be no extraneous matter that is a chatzitz between him and the mikvah water. The Gemara clarifies that Rav was referring to a halacha which Rabbi Yitzchak taught. Dvar Torah, Rubo u'makbid olav chotzes. According to Torah law, meaning halacha Moshe Mesinai, something on one's hair is only a chatzitza if it covers the majority of the hair and one objects. Something on one's hair is only. Something on one's hair is only a chatzitza if it covers the majority of the hair and one objects to it being there. Rashi gives the example of dry blood, ink, clay, or tar, and explains that if one does not object to the object being on his hair, it's considered as part of the body. The Rabbanan decreed that even if only one factor exists, meaning that it covers most of one's hair, or if he objects to a being on his hair, the tevila is invalid. And point number three, the Mishnah stated, "She'en lo shelosh nefanos pasula," that a sukkah that does not have three walls is pasul. It was taught in a braisa, "Shtaim kihochasan ushrishis afilo tefach." A sukkah must have two proper walls and a third wall, even a tefach long. Rav Shimon says, "Shelosh kihochasan ravis afilo tefach." It must have three proper walls and a fourth wall, even a tefach long. The Gemara explains, their machlokas is based on which has primacy when expounding on a word from the Torah, its written form or pronounced form. The Rabbanan hold, yesh eim umasoris, the written form has primacy. Therefore, they expounded the three words besukos in the Torah, twice written without a vav, and once written with a vav, as four allusions to a sukkah. Subtract one, which is required to introduce the mitzvah of sukkah itself, and three allusions remain. Of these, two must be proper walls, v'asehilchas v'garas l'shrishis, and the oral wall comes and reduces the length of the third wall and establishes it as a tefach. Rabbi Shimon maintains the Yeshem Lemikra, the pronounced form has primacy, and therefore there are six allusions to a sukkah. Since the first mention of sukkahs is needed for the mitzvah, only four allusions remain. Three must be proper walls, and the oral law teaches that the fourth wall can be a tefach. The Gemara presents three alternative explanations of the root of the machlokas. All right, so now we got our simmer dav vav, and our standard simmon is a sword, because a vav is straight, and a sword is straight, so there you go. Vav is a sword. Here goes. The sword salesman who masterfully used his high-priced sword to chop the Zion Minim, according to the different shiurim, had tar on the majority of his hair, and did his demonstrations out of a sukkah with two proper walls and a third wall that was just a tefach. Once again, it's a motion. The sword salesman, that must learn dav vav, sword. The sword salesman who masterfully used his high-priced sword to chop the Zion Minim, according to their different shiurim, which reminds us that Rav said, shiurim chatzitzin mechitzin halacha Moshe Mitzrayim. And the Gemara challenges this, saying that shiurim in fact arises based on the pasuk of the Zion Minim, where each of the seven fruits is a unit of measure for some halacha, but concludes, since these shiurim are not written explicitly in the Torah, the pasuk is just an asmachta. So the sword salesman who massively used his high-priced sword to chop the Zion Minim according to their different shiurim had tar on the majority of his hair, which reminds us the laws of chatzitza are in fact the rices, and the Rav's assertion that the laws of chatzitza are halacha Moshe Mitzrayim is referring to a halacha that something on one's hair is only chatzitza if it covers the majority of the hair and one objects to it being there, such as dried blood, ink, clay, or tar. If one doesn't object to the object being on his hair, it's considered as part of the body. So the sword salesman who massively used his high-priced sword to chop the Zion Minim according to the different shiurim had tar on the majority of his hair and did his demonstrations out of a sukkah with two proper walls and a third wall that was just a tefach. Which reminds the machlokes between the Rabbanan and Rabbi Shimon whether a sukkah requires two proper walls and the third wall can just be a tefach or three proper walls and the fourth wall can be a tefach is based on the three times the word sukkos is mentioned and the question of whether yesh emu masoros or yesh emu mikra, whether words in the Torah are expounded based on the way they are written or the way they are pronounced. So once again, the sword salesman who massively used his high-priced sword to chop the Zion Minim according to the different shiurim had tar on the majority of his hair and did his demonstrations out of a sukkah with two proper walls and a third wall that was just a tefach. All right, now it's time for four blah blah chazara. Dav Beis and Sukkah. So the Simmer Dav Beis is a bias, a house. So here goes. The above 20 on the sukkah that looked like a house, that must be more Dav Beis. The above 20 amas sukkah that looked like a house and was next to a mavui was declared pasul, which reminds us that the Gemara gave two answers as to why the Tani used the term basula for a sukkah whose chach is above 20 amos instead of yamayit that was mentioned by a koi that was too high in a mavui, either because a sukkah is a deraisa or that a sukkah has so many details that the mission would have become unwieldy if it included a fix for every case. So the above 20 amas sukkah that looked like a house and was next to a mavui was declared pasul because it didn't remind people of the sukkahs in the midbar, which reminds us three different sources were given for why schach cannot be above 20 amas, either because one won't see the schach and be aware they're in a sukkah to remind them of the sukkahs in the midbar, or they'll be shaded from the walls and not the schach, or because it will then need to become a dearest keva. So the above 20 amas sukkah that looked like a house and was next to a mavi was declared pasul because it didn't remind people of the sukkahs in the midbar, and its walls didn't reach the Schach, which reminds us that Rabbi Yoshi has said in the name of Rav that the machlokes in the Mishnah between the Tanakhama and Rabbi Yehuda is only b'shein dafanos magios l'schach, where the walls do not reach the Schach. If they do, the Tanakhama would agree that a sukkah higher than 20 amos is kosher. The Gemara says this opinion is in accord with Rav, who disqualified a sukkah more than 20 amos high because the eye doesn't notice the Schach. Here, since the walls reach the Schach, the eye will surely notice it. Daf Gimel, so the Simmer Daf Gimel is a gamal, a camel. So here goes. The huge camel, that must mean we're on Daf Gimel, gamal, camel. The huge camel sticking out from his small sukkah was trying to pull his table into it from his tiny house, which reminds us. The Beis Shammai Beis Hillel argue on the minimum size of a sukkah, as well as in a case of a large sukkah, whether the table needs to be in the sukkah, lest the person is drawn after it and comes to eat in his house. So the huge camel sticking out from his small sukkah was trying to pull his table into it from his tiny house that was too small to be high from a mezuzah ma'akev. Which reminds the Gemara brings a brayse that teaches that a house that is not 4x4 amos squared is pata mina mezuzah, mina ma'akev, and matam negayim, because the word bias is written in the Torah with reference to all of them, and a dwelling less than 4 amos squared is not considered a bias. So the huge camel sticking out from his small sukkah was trying to pull his table into it from his tiny house that was too small to be high from a mezuzah ma'akev and was only suitable to keep a shittuv. Which reminds us, a shittuv may be placed in a house that is less than 4x4 amos, since the function of a shittuv is to merge all the courtyards of the mavli for their use, not for habitation. As long as the shittuv is located in a protected space, the shittuv is valid, even if that space is less than 4x4. Daf Dalet, so the Simmer Daf Dalet is a door. So here goes. The owners took the door off the 21 amos sukkah. Door? That must mean we're on Daf Dalet. The owners took the door off the 21 amos sukkah where the dangling hutzin didn't provide the majority of shade, which reminds us that if the sukkah was taller than 20 amos, but hutzin yordim mitoch es yamama, and the leaves of the palm branches that comprise its schach were dangling into the airspace of the sukkah within 20 amos of the floor, if the shade provided by these tips is greater than their sunlight, it's kosher. If not, it's puzzle. If the sukkah was exactly 10 fucking tall, the minimum height of a sukkah, behutzin yordin latochasari, and the palm branch leaves were dang within the tent fachim, Rava told Abai that even if the sunlight was greater than the shade, it's a dira sarucha, a dwelling that's uncomfortable to live in. So the owners took the door off the 21 amas sukkah, where the dangling hutzin didn't provide the majority of shade, and used it as a platform instead, which reminds us that the case of a sukkah that is taller than 20 amas, ubanu ba'isaba, and one built a platform in it, is coming to teach that even though the third distant wall was not a valid wall to begin with, because it was above 20 amas, we can still apply the halacha of Dovan Akuma to it to remedy the disqualification. So the owners took the door off the 21 amas sukkah, where the dangling hutzin didn't provide the majority of shade, and used it as a platform instead, after they were told their good asik idea with the 10 fucking pillar wouldn't work. Which reminds us that the case of a sukkah taller than 20 amos, where one built in it a pillar that is 10 tefachim tall and is 7x7 tefachim, we cannot apply the law of good asik, which would extend and raise the partition on each of the pillar's sides to the schach above, creating a valid sukkah on the pillar's top, because the area of a sukkah must be a dira, a dwelling place which can only be attained through mechitzos and yikaros, through noticeable walls. Daf hay, so the simmer daf hay is hay, a haystack, so here goes. When the boys who filled the 9 tefachim box with hay, hey, that must mean we're on Daf Hay. When the boys who filled the 9 tefachim box with hay and then covered with a tefach, the cover, which reminds us that the source of the sukkah that is not at least 10 tefachim high is invalid, is brought from the Aron in that it was 9 tefachim tall and the thickness of the kaparis, which was 1 tefach, and it's written, it's there that I'll set my meetings with you and I shall speak with you from atop the kaparis. Rabbi Yossi says, the Shekhinah never descended below into the human domain, and Moshe and Eliyahu never ascended into the heavens. Since Hashem spoke to Moshe from atop the Kaparis, it follows that 10 tefachim from the ground begins a separate domain. And therefore we see 10 tefachim is the minimum height of a partition. So when the boys who filled the 9 tefachim box with hay, and then covered it with a tefach, the cover, they made from the border of the kitchen table, which reminds us the 1 tefach thickness of the Kaparis is learned from the mascaras of the Shulchan, from the border of the Shulchan. So when the boys who filled the 9 tefachim box with hay, and then covered it with a tefach, the cover they made from the border of their kitchen table, were about to be caught by their mom, they raised their arms up in unison and covered it, pretending to be little angels. Which reminds the Gemara asks, from what evidence you say that the interior space for a sukkah must be 10 tefachim in height, excluding the thickness of its schach? Say rather, that the 10 tefachim are measured with its schach. The Gemara therefore presents a different source for the 10 tefachim height requirement for a sukkah from the height of Moshe's kruvim, which were 10 tefachim from head to toe, and it's written they were sochim bekanfeim al kaporis, sheltering the kaporis with their wings. Here we see that the Torah calls this sheltering a sukkah covering because it occurs above an airspace of 10 tefachim. All right, so that concludes today's shiur. This is Rabbi Avraham Goldin Zichu, wishing you a great day and great learning.